both.
After the 4 months of the rainy season, Lakshman sent Sugriva to remind him that now it is time to look for Sita. And Sugriva sent Hanuman and Angada to go out and bring all the monkey soldiers, millions and millions of monkeys. And after some days, Hanuman and Angada came with innumerable, powerful, powerful monkeys who were all the descendants of the demigods themselves. And Ram told them that I want you to find Sita. And there was all arrangements, which directions each would go. And then Ram took Hanuman confidentially. And he said, of all the monkeys, I believe you are the one that will find Sita. Lord Ramchandra understood that ultimately one is empowered according to his devotion. And Sri Hanumanji was the supreme-most devotee. Therefore, he gave Hanumanji his own ring with the name Ram written on it. And he said, I believe you will be the one to find Sita. Give her this ring. It will give her life and hope. And then he gave a beautiful message to be relayed to Sita. When you see her, tell her how much I love her and miss her, and how I am going to come to rescue her without doubt. So they began to search and search, and they were looking and looking and looking, and all of the different monkeys in all different directions, they could not find even a trace. Angada, Hanuman, Jambavan, they were searching in the southern direction. At one point, they were so frustrated that Angana said, if we cannot find Sita, that we might as well fast till death. What is the use of our lives if we cannot fulfill this service? So they all began to fast. And as they were very, very weak, there was a big vulture. His name was Sampati, who saw them all laying there in a weakened state. And he said, oh, this is very good. He said, I am very old, and I have no wings, but they have come right before me, so now I will eat them. And Angada and others were thinking, now what to do? We are about to be eaten. So they began to chant the glories of Lord Ram, because after all, before death, we should remember the pastimes and the names of the Lord. And he began to narrate how they were about to be killed trying to find Sita, just as the great bird Jatayu was also killed in pursuit of helping Ram come back to Sita. And when Sampati heard that, he said, Jatayu, he is my brother. Tell me about this Jatayu. And when he heard that Angada and Hanuman and the others were devotees of Ram, he became very happy. He explained, when I was very young, myself and Jatayu, we went very high in the sky, flying. And at that time, the sun began to beat very, very hot. So with my wings, I covered my brother Jatayu to protect him. And my wings were burnt. And I have been laying here ever since. I have not moved in ages. But I was told at that time that someday the servants of Sri Ram will come, and when you help them in their devotional service, your wings will grow back. And just at that time, his wings grew back. And he said that Ravana is living across the ocean, 100 yojanas, 800 miles, in the kingdom of Sri Lanka, and that is where he has taken Sita. You can reach there by going to Setubandha. So with these words, Hanumanji, Jambavan, Angada, Nila, Nala, and the others, they went to the shore of the ocean. They were thinking, who could possibly jump so far? It's a long way to Sri Lanka. How will we get there? And they all began to describe the capacity of their strength. And one of the monkeys said, I can go one yojana, I can jump another. I can go 10, I can go 20, I can go 30, I can go 40. Angana said, I can make it all the way there, but I do not think I could make it back. And Jambavan, who was the senior most of all of them, he said, actually, Angada, you could make it there and back. You are the son of Bali. But you are our commander-in-chief and our leader, and you have to be with us. He said, when I was young, I could circumambulate the whole world several times. At the time of Vamanadeva, when he was taking his first and second footsteps, I was circumambulating his feet very fast in honor and worship of him. But now I am very old, and I cannot jump so far. Meanwhile, everyone was speaking. Hanuman was sitting in complete silence. Why? For two reasons. One is he forgot his own power. Someone had to remind him. And two, it was his natural quality of humility to never boast what he could do. That he would not take any project unless he had the blessings of his seniors. So Jambavan said, Hanuman, you are so quiet, you are not saying anything. But actually, and he began to explain the glorious powers of Hanuman. And when Hanuman heard this, he began to expand in size, and he said, yes, there is nothing I cannot do if I have your blessings. And then he asked for the blessings with all humility of all of his associates and colleagues. He knew that without the blessings of the Vaishnavas, one cannot be successful in one's service to Krishna or Guru. This was his humility. And they all imparted their heartfelt blessings and said, Hanuman, now you go, you jump across the ocean. And Hanuman expanded in a large form. He went atop a mountain. And as he began to jump, when his feet pressed down before he jumped, the mountain began to sink into the ground. And from the mountain, there was so much pressure, liquid gold and silver began to ooze like rivers and streams in all directions. And all the animals began to shriek because they were so much bewildered. What was happening? And when he jumped, the wind that was caused by his jumping tore all the trees and all the vegetation from that mountain to follow along with him. And he began that great and glorious journey to Sri Lanka. What was his purpose? He was the servant of Ram, going to rescue Sita from the hands of the demoniac. And I'd like all of you to listen very carefully of what this means. Sita is the goddess of fortune. Sita is the reservoir of all opulence. And all the fortune of this world, all beauty, all knowledge, all wealth, all fame, all strength, it is all the expansion of Sita. It is not different than Sita. It is her energy. And those who are like Ravana, they want to take the opulence and the energy of God and they want to utilize it for their own personal aggrandizement and sense gratification. To the degree we are taking any of the fortunes or opulences of this world and trying to utilize it for our own purposes, not in connection to the service of Ram, we are like Ravana.
And to the degree we are simply trying to take all the opulences and wealth of the world and all the good qualities, everything of the world, and we want to offer it back to Ram, we are like Hanuman. But Sita represents also the highest emblem of love, devotion, and chastity. Hanuman's mission was the service of the Lord to achieve the feat of Sita, which means to achieve the feat of pure bhakti, pure devotional service. And his journey was very, very instructive. As he was going to find Sita, soaring in the airways across the ocean, Varuna, the lord of the ocean, approached the Menaka mountain, a mountain which was made of solid gold. It is explained, this was in Treta Yuga, that previous mountains were living personalities and they had wings and they could fly. You may not believe, but 200 years ago, they wouldn't believe that an airplane could fly. It is all relative. But we are talking about Treta Yuga, where the mountains were great personalities. But somehow or other, at one time, it is explained that the mountains became so puffed up that they would just fall on cities and destroy everything. So Indra cut off the wings of all the mountains. So Menaka was living under the sea, and she was a mountain of solid gold. And Varuna, the lord of the ocean, said that Hanuman, he's going on a very long journey across the ocean. You should come up and give him a place where he could rest. So the Menaka mountain rose from the ocean and invited Hanuman, please come and rest on me for some time, relax. And Hanuman, he was so fixed in resolute determination to carry out the order of Ram that there was no question of resting, there was no question of comfort, there was no question of enjoyment. But at the same time, he had to honor, because she was offering herself with devotion. So with his hand, he touched just to accept the offering. But then he went on. So he carried on. And then the mother figure for all the Nagas, whose name was Suras, who was sent by the demigods to test Hanuman, she came out of the ocean. And she said to Hanuman that I have been given a benediction by Lord Brahma that anyone who comes by my way, I will have the power to eat them, and no one could get by me without being devoured. So she expanded her mouth to eat Hanuman. She expanded it 10 yojanas. A yojana is approximately 8 miles. And then Hanuman expanded himself to 20 yojanas. And then she expanded her mouth to 30, and him to 40. And in this way, finally she expanded her mouth to 100 yojanas. And then Hanuman became as small as a little thumb. And he walked into her mouth, and then he came back out, and he said, Suras, you have fulfilled your benediction. You have devoured me. Now please give me your blessings that I can go rescue Sita. And she was so pleased that she said, yes, you have very politely caused me to fulfill all my benedictions. Now I bestow blessings on you. Go to Lanka, kill that Ravana and rescue Sita. Bring her back to Ram. So then again he began to fly to Sri Lanka. And another obstacle came in his path. A terrible, terrible demon. Her name was Samika. And she saw Hanuman flying overhead. And she had tantric powers. She was a great sorceress in black magic. And she had such power. She was in the ocean, and she saw Hanuman way up in the sky, but his shadow was coming over the ocean, so she grabbed on to his shadow. And he could not move. And then, through his shadow, she dragged him down. And she opened her mouth to devour him. And again, he took a tiny little form, like a thumb, and he walked into her mouth, and walked down her throat, and walked through her chest, and went right to her heart, and with his nails, he ripped her heart apart. And then as he came out, she died and fell into the ocean dead. Then he continued his journey, and he finally reached the island of Sri Lanka, and he waited till dark. And when it was night, he made his form very small to inconspicuously come into Sri Lanka and to find Sita and to see how formidable the forces of Ravana was, what the dimensions of the city were, so he could report it back to Ram, Sugriva, and Angada. Just as he approached the gate of Lanka, a massive and powerful Rakshasi, whose name was Lankini, she was none other than the presiding deity of Sri Lanka. She stopped him. With terrible, rude language, she had said, "What nerve do you have to come here?" He said, "I'm going into Lanka." She said, "This is Ravana's kingdom, and you are a thief. You have no right to come into Ravana's kingdom. I am the presiding deity, and I am the protector of Lanka. And you have the nerve to think that you could come in, you criminal. Today I will kill you and devour you." And she approached Hanuman, and she struck him. And Hanuman became very angry. And he took his fist, and he punched her in the chest, and she fell down to the ground vomiting blood. And then she got up, and she began to offer prayers to Hanuman. "That Lord Brahma told me long ago that when a monkey comes and defeats you, that he is none other than the servant of Ram. And when that time comes, that means that Ravana and all of his Rakshasas will be destroyed, and the city of Lanka will be conquered. So now I offer my prayers and my obeisances to you, Hanumanji. Now, kindly, with all my blessings and prayers, you go into Lanka and do your glorious favor for Sri Ramchandra." Now let us examine this journey to Lanka. The first obstacle was the mountain Menak. He was trying to do his seva, and a golden mountain appeared and offered him a place to be comfortable, to rest, and to enjoy. As you are engaging in devotional service, a great obstacle that you have to watch out for is the tendency for comfort and enjoyment. Gold is the symbol of wealth. Gold is a symbol of material enjoyment. Through this golden mountain, Hanuman was being offered wonderful, wonderful comforts, pleasures. If we become attached to material pleasures or sense enjoyment, or even comforts in life, it will completely divert our attention from real devotional service. How did Hanuman overcome this obstacle? Through detachment. Through tapasya. The willingness to say no to the comforts, the opulence, and the enjoyments of this world, and keep your mind fixed on your service to Guru and Krishna. The The Bhagavatam says, dharmasya hibhavargasya narato yato yopakalpate naratasya karamaitambas kamalabhaya hismrita. That when you are engaging in devotional service, many material benefits will come to you. Never accept any of them for your own enjoyment, but they all must be utilized in the service of Krishna. Vyavashayatmaka budhir ekeha kurunandana bahushaka hinantashta budhayo vyavashayanam. Krishna says in Gita that on this path of devotional service, your aim must be one. You must be resolute in purpose. You cannot be diverted to anything. So yes, so many temptations will come. Temptations of money, temptations of nice home, temptations of nice family, temptations of nice comforts. Oh, let me enjoy for some time. Let me relax for some time. But a sincere devotee will channelize all of these things in God's service and will not deviate from the mission of Guru or Krishna. So we must be very careful of this obstacle of comfortable enjoyment, because it will take us out of the path of bhakti through the process that Hanuman taught us, detachment. If someone offers you something, you honor it, but do not in any way let it disturb your service to Guru and Krishna. And the second obstacle came in the form of suras, which is the obstacle of pride, competitive pride, wanting to show how great you are. Materialists, they are always doing this. But even on the spiritual path, we want to compete with others. I'm a better cook. I'm a better pujari. I'm a better collector. I'm a better preacher. I'm a better devotee. I'm more austere. I can fast very nicely. I can sing very nicely. I can dance very nicely. I know so many slokas. This idea of trying to make yourself appear better than others. Competitive pride is a great obstacle, which is very difficult to overcome. Suras was getting bigger, Hanuman was getting bigger. Suras was getting bigger, Hanuman was getting bigger. It was competition. Who's bigger? Who's better? Who's greater? How did Hanuman defeat this obstacle, this enemy of pride? There's only one way, through humility. Hanuman became the smallest. You're so big, I'm so small. He became as humble in size as our thumb. And with all respect, he walked into her mouth and he came out, and then he offered obeisances. It is only through humility and allowing other people to be bigger and better than us, and recognizing that they are bigger and better than us, that we can kill this demon of competitive pride in our heart. And then he went on. And the next obstacle was the demon, Samika. She's a terrible demon. He was in the air, and she grabbed his shadow. She represents envy. What is the nature of an envious person? What is the propensity of envy within our own hearts? The shadow, the form of a person, is light, but the shadow is black. Right? It's dark. The nature of envy is to simply cling on to the dark qualities of another. To attach our consciousness to the shadow of another, whatever bad qualities they have. A non-envious person finds great pleasure in seeing the good in others. But an envious person loves to find the faults in others, loves to find the black spots in another person's character, and completely ignore whatever good they have, and just discuss and challenge the faults in other people. Why? Because envious people cannot tolerate somebody being above them. And Samika was in the ocean, and she could not tolerate that Hanuman was way up above her flying a high. So therefore, the nature of envy is you want to tear, you want to drag down people above you by latching on to their bad qualities, to drag them down. By finding faults in those better than you, you try to bring them below you. That is envy. And how expert this demon was. She couldn't tolerate Hanuman's above me. She dragged him down by his shadow. And how did Hanuman defeat her? How did he show us that we can defeat this demon of envy within our own hearts? This great obstacle to devotional service. First of all, again, Hanuman became very small. He became very humble. And then he went right to her heart. Because envy is the heart of all material disease and bondage. And he ripped out her heart. The process of overcoming the obstacle of envy is in the humble service of the Lord. We must very, very, very strictly adhere to the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness. By chanting the holy names, by following the four regulative principles, by living a pure life, this is the means by which we can go right to the heart of the material disease called envy and purify it, destroy it. And then he continued on, and he met the demoness Lankini. She represents bewilderment. She was such a bewildering propagandist. She was saying that Hanuman was a criminal and a thief, and that he should be punished. But Hanuman told her, "What nonsense! You're calling me a criminal and a thief? You're guarding Ravana, who stole another man's wife, Sita. He's the greatest criminal and thief, and you're protecting her? How dare you say this?" And through his harsh words and through his good slap, he brought her to the ground. Similarly, this is a great obstacle to our spiritual lives. You must know the propagation of people in Maya. They think that they're normal, they think that they're good, and they condemn you for surrendering to God. Sometimes your own family members, they say, "What is this nonsense? You're becoming so serious about God consciousness. It's not normal. You have your duties to your family, you have your duties to society, you should be enjoying movies, you should be enjoying television, you should be getting a good job, you should be getting a lot of money, you should be making a good name for yourself. You're crazy. This is not normal life. You are being brainwashed." Ah, Lankini, personified through all these people who say these nonsense propagandic things. The fact is, they're brainwashed. The eternal soul is brainwashed to think I'm this body. The eternal soul that is part of Krishna is brainwashed under the illusion and is simply usurping more and more for their own sense enjoyment, not knowing it all belongs to God. So the fact is, when you dedicate yourself to the service of God, most of the society in all ranks is going to criticize you and say that you're foolish, you're crazy, you're brainwashed. But the fact is, they are foolish, crazy, and brainwashed. This city belongs to Lanka. You're a thief. You know what you're saying? You're a thief.
You are supporting Ravana.
I am on the side of God. And Hanuman, how did he overcome this bewildering propaganda of others? By firm conviction. And similarly, if we want to progress in spiritual life, we should know that so many people on all sides, even loved ones, is going to try to dissuade you from the spiritual path. And you have to have firm conviction. You have to have faith. And that faith comes by hearing regularly in the association of devotees. By hearing in the association of devotees regularly, we develop conviction and faith and inner strength where we can conquer all the mayic propaganda of this world and not be bewildered and confused by what people are accusing us of. And in the end, because of Hanuman's conviction and firmness, he actually cleansed the perverted mentality of Lankani and made her a well-wisher and a devotee. And similarly, even those people who are trying to drag you away from devotional life, if you simply remain firm and convinced, you will change them to become glorious, humble devotees. So Hanuman entered Lanka, and his little form, he was just investigating everything. By that time, the moon was rising. It was night, very dark. Actually, the moon was in the middle of the sky. Everyone was sleeping. He was traveling around looking for Sita. Going from one house to another. Such a beautiful city he saw. It was like a heavenly planet. There were beautiful mansions. Everything was bedecked with precious gold, diamonds, rubies, emeralds. The fact is that the brother of Ravana was Kuvera, the treasure of the demigods, and that Rakshasa was so greedy that he defeated his own brother and took all of his wealth away. Right here in India, we see it all the time amongst wealthy families. They get in fights in the courts and they try to take everything away from each other. Greed destroys the sanctity of any type of love amongst even family members, not to speak of friends and countrymen. So Ravana had created such a city. Hanuman was just amazed to see. It was more opulent and prosperous than the kingdom of Indra in the heavens. But he was not in any way impressed. He was simply fixed in his consciousness on finding Sita. That was his service. Not to be diverted by anything else. He could not find Sita anywhere. After searching for hours, he was becoming discouraged. Then he saw the king of all mansions, the residence of Ravana. He saw Ravana lying on his big, big, soft bed. His 10 heads. His arms showing scars from his fighting with Indra when he defeated him. Hanuman was thinking, if this person was only a devotee, what a great personality he could be. He thought all these beautiful, beautiful women with instruments in their hands around the bed of Ravana. But he could not recognize Sita. He continued his search. Hanumanji was thinking, here I am a brahmachari, and I'm secretly going into the inner corridors of all these matajis and looking at them sleeping and scrutinizingly examine each one to see if they're sita. This is not according to the principles of brahmacharya. However, because it was the necessity of doing for the service of Ram, he continued on with conviction. He saw the principal queen of Ravana named Mandodari. She was so beautiful. He was thinking, this must be Sita. But after examining her very carefully, he understood, it cannot be Sita. She is not flawless. He saw Pushpaka, the airplane chariot that Ravana had stolen from Kuvera. It was in a high place. Hanumanji stood on that, overseeing the whole of Sri Lanka, but he could not find Sita anywhere. And he began to think, maybe she drowned in the ocean, or maybe the Rakshasas have eaten her. If I tell Angana and the monkeys this, they will all commit suicide. And how can I tell Ram that? So he continued to search and to search and to search.